Hello and welcome to Argue the Toss at GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
And I'm Drew, and together we're arguing about the things that really matter in games and films and stuff.
Indeed we are, and it is Season 5, Episode 7.
Indeed it is.
And our topic, Drew?
We are talking about games again. Like, when was the last time?
Wow, it's been a while.
Yeah. And every time we talk about games, I say that. We could do, like, three in a row about games, and I'd be like, when was the last time we talked about games? Yeah. But yeah, specifically, games that haven't come out yet. Although I think by the time we send this one out, one of the games we're going to talk about will have come out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is an incredibly nebulous topic. But yeah, we've had a look at the games from 2019 that are upcoming, which we are looking forward to and are interested in. And we've come up with a list of, like, I think about seven each.
About 14 games. Yeah, our most anticipated or our highly anticipated games of 2019.
Exactly.
Cool. I've just realised I forgot to put mine in a certain order, so yeah. Let's start with your first one.
Like, I haven't got mine in an order either. I'm just going to be randomly picking them from this list that I have on my screen.
But, okay, cool.
Yeah. I'm going to start with Dreams, which is the first one on my list anyway, so that's a good place to start. And it's also coming out really soon in limited access on April the 16th. And it's like rather than being a game, it's a game creation engine from the guys who made Little Big Planet, Media Molecule. And if you haven't, like, looked into it, go on YouTube and just Google, like, Dreams PS4 and see some of the stuff people have made in it, because it's all, like, hugely varied and really interesting, and it just looks like it's going to be a great little utility to make small games or, like, just indie games or small experiences. And I haven't seen anything about, like, the engine that it uses or the system that you actually interact with it in, but I'm excited to get into that and just start making tiny little things and publishing them.
Yeah, I mean, it looks kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, like, just
it's just yeah, super creative and yeah, just this a play tool basically. I think people are gonna come up with amazing things.
Yeah.
It's going to be really exciting. You know, it's going to be like that kind of Minecraft kind of thing, mm-hmm. where people just come up with, yeah. It's really exciting when you let players just give them a tool and the things they come up with, you know, especially like people who've got loads of time and they just do these meticulous things. And it's just, yeah, I'm just excited to see what, more than me playing it myself, because I don't have that much time to do stuff like that, because I've got two games I'm making myself, so already. Yeah. But I'm really excited to see what people do with it. I think that's going to be exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, like, absolutely. And I'm excited to make stuff myself with it, but I'm just more interested to see this. The games that have come out are so wide and so varied that I can't see how you could have, like, just a system that allows for such differentiation in the games that you make and still be simple and easy to use. And I'm just excited to get into that and wade into it and find out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So there's no actual full release date, is that right?
So yeah, it's April the 6th. It's coming out in limited early access, which means that you will be able to buy it, but as soon as a certain number of people have bought it, it's going to be delisted and taken off again, which I am kind of frustrated and annoyed by. I'm not quite sure I understand the reasons why they would do that. Mm-hmm. It feels like a marketing thing to just further stretch the hype and anticipation. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, like, I don't know anything about what's going on behind the scenes in this, because it's kind of, I think it's pretty, like, closed up as well, because it's Media Molecule, it's a big Sony property, so there's a lot of NDA stuff and secrecy around it, but
maybe
it is
just
irritating.
Making sure it all works, or I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, they've already had a beta test for that, and
yeah.
Like, there's probably good reasons for it, but
Yeah.
You know, on a personal level, I'm just, I want this just now. Like, and I want to
play it now.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me the game. Mm. Okay, so one game you won't have to wait very long for, only until tomorrow, in fact, yeah. Is Falcon Age, which comes out on the 9th of April. And it's a PlayStation game, and it comes out on standard PlayStation, but it also is for PlayStation VR. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, if you haven't seen it, it looks absolutely gorgeous. I know Meg Giant, who you probably do know now from the GDC. She did the amazing presentation at GDC, which shook things up this year. But she was the writer on 80 Days for Inkle Games, and I know that she set down the sort of story structure for Falcon Age. So the story is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And then they got really good writer in after that to like fill in the story and the dialogue and stuff. And it's basically about a girl and her eagle, and she is getting back in touch with her culture. So they're like an indigenous culture who are being colonized by this robot who come to their planet and colonize it. So it's this anti-colonial game about an indigenous girl who's lost touch with her culture, and she's finding her way back to her culture and reclaiming it, and then reclaiming her land for her people back from the robot colonizer. So it's got a really cool story to it. But you also have a pet eagle, which is just awesome, or a pet falcon, and you can use it. The falcon will help you do stuff, and you find it from a chick. So presumably it grows up as well as the game goes along, and you can hunt and gather resources and craft, and and you have this really strong relationship with your bird, and the physics on the bird is really amazing. If you just go onto their Twitter, so it's by Outer Loop Games, and if you go onto their Twitter, they've got loads of really lovely gifs of the sort of the way that an eagle's head stays in one spot even if you move the body around, and they've got that physics perfectly. And it looks awesome.
Yeah, like that's the main thing that I knew about Falcon Age until I kind of looked it up a little bit more and talked with you about it before the mm-hmm. before the podcast. But I was completely sold on just the head bob of the eagle. Mm,
yeah,
and I have my PSVR set up at the moment. It's I've broken it out and started playing it again, and I cannot wait to use like the motion controllers to like have that actually on my hand, moving it up and down, and just watching it do that. It's going to be
super fun. Yeah, it's going to be really lovely in VR. It's a very, very pretty game indeed, mm-hmm. and yeah, has some good writing chops behind it too.
Mm.
That's tomorrow, which, yeah, by the time this comes out, we'll be, like, 3 days ago or something.
Yep, so go and play that already. I'm, like, when you're listening to this, I'm probably already playing it.
Yeah, you are bobbing that bird head.
That's all I need to do. Like, I don't need to progress with the game. I will just have the bird, and I'll be like...
I now am a Falconer.
Yeah. This is the main thing that people get into falconry for, and now I can just have it. Okay. So, my second game is something that is like just a personal... Something I've been looking forward to for years and years and years. Spelunky 2 is coming out at some point this year. It's not more specific than 2019, but I think I've talked about on this podcast before about how much I really love Spelunky. I feel like I have. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I just talked to you about it, and you were just, yeah, okay, that's good. but yeah, if you
I'm
have...
not really familiar with Spelunky at all. I know the name, but it's passed me by completely.
So Spelunky, if you haven't played it, is a roguelike platformer. It's randomly generated arrangements of 16 levels, so... depending on what you do, it can go up to 20 levels. And the entire thing is kind of, not randomly, but procedurally generated. And it's all about it has a very interesting difficulty curve in that when you start playing it, you're going to be getting killed all the time until you kind of learn the systems by which the enemies and traps move, because it's all completely predictable, and you can get good at it yourself in a way that doesn't... So there's no upgrade trees, nothing like that. It's just your kind of skill and knowledge of the systems, and it makes for this just very interesting experience, which is all about situational analysis, which changes every time. So it takes a long time for Spelunky to get old, because you're constantly being faced with new stuff. Mm-hmm. And I played Spelunky so much that I wore it out. After, like, I think it was about 150 hours, 200 hours in total. Like, I can't play it anymore because I've done everything in it. So when they announced a sequel, I was like, oh my god, that is exactly what I've needed, because after Spelunky, there's nothing else quite like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, it sounds like a very you game.
Yeah, it does. I've always been into sort of systemic games and high difficulty. But yeah, Spelunky just zeroed it. And again, it's like Dark Souls in that it was something which it took me a few goes to like crack it. And then when I did, I was like, ah, okay, I see exactly what this is now, and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. That's...
What's my next one I'm going to do? I'm going to go sort of in chronological order, I guess, for now.
Yeah.
So next big April release is Heaven's Vault by Inkle Games, who did 80 Days.
Mm-hmm.
So this is much anticipated, and it's out on the 16th of April. It's out on PlayStation. I'm not sure if it's out. Is it out on PC as well?
Yes, it is. It's coming to Steam.
Yeah. Oh, is it on Steam? Okay, cool.
Yeah, and I think it's a simultaneous release, so it'll be
on okay, all of those. Cool. So, we talked about this last year when we went to EGX Res, which was a year ago, pretty much, because EGX Res has just happened. And we played it, and it was our game of the show at EGX Res.
Yeah, it definitely was. It was clearly very special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you play an archaeologist who it's like a sort of science fantasy, I suppose. You're on a different planet and you're an archaeologist, and there's like a really neat language mechanic in it where you get these hieroglyphs that you have to interpret, but you don't know if your interpretation is correct or not. Mm. So it really puts you in the shoes of an archaeologist piecing together sort of elements of an ancient civilization, and that's basically it. We played the demo. The demo was just taking you through a little scenario and how the language mechanic works, and it works incredibly well. It's just, you feel like you are peeling back the layers of an onion to understand this language, doesn't it? It's really clever.
Yeah, and they've done like quite a lot. They've gone in depth on making the language. They've it's really well studied. And they've been posting shots from their kind of internal Discord where they are having conversations in that hieroglyphic language. So I'm interested to see how usable it is, how functional it is as a language, and how learnable it is.
Mm.
And I'm just really looking forward to playing that. And we only played like a brief slice of it. I think we played about 10 minutes each, but it was immediately clear that this was something really cool.
Yeah, and I know that they've put loads of research into how civilizations or cultures grow and evolve, and how that impacts the language, and all those. Yeah, so they've done a heck of a lot of research, and just done some brilliant looking stuff. Basically, it's going to be really exciting to see how that all works.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the games on my list as well. So we've covered one of mine as well. So that was a twofer.
Okay.
Yeah, I just straight up can't wait for that. Like, there's so much coming out in the next couple of in the next couple of weeks, this week, next week, and I can't like figure out what I want. I'm gonna like try and dive into that Dreams demo. I want to play Heaven's Vault. And then
Falcon Age as well, and then it's just too many good things. And then, but luckily we've got Easter weekend. I know if you're in America you don't have Easter weekend, but in the UK you get four days off, because you get Good Friday and Easter Monday, our bank holidays here, so gives us a 4-day weekend, so that could be some game playing time.
I'm working both of those bank holidays, so it's not a four. So, my next one, kind of continuing the Dreams theme, is Mario Maker 2, which is the engine for creating Mario games, like two-dimensional Mario games, which was originally released, the first one, on the Wii U. And it was really popular among Wii U owners, which is a small subset. That console didn't do particularly well. So it's really exciting to have this on Switch, because the Switch has been like really taken up by a lot of people. So it sounds like there's going to be a lot more creators doing this. And I had a lot of fun with Mario Maker just noodling and putting together like random little tiny concept Mario levels, which none of which like were particularly good, but it was a really cool way of figuring out how game design and puzzle design and challenge design works in a system that like I think pretty much everyone is really familiar with. I think everyone's played a Mario game at some point. And there's a really good Game Maker's Toolkit video about, you know, using that system and using the rules that kind of Nintendo use in their level design to, and then if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to, like, really engage with it, you can just make ridiculous, stupid levels where you have to, you know, fight six Bowsers stacked on top of each other, throwing fireballs at you, and you're on a trampoline platform flying off a cloud in midair. And yeah, just there's a lot for everyone. There's game design, and there is ridiculous stupidness. Yeah.
Well, that sounds cool.
That is that June. They haven't announced the specific week in June, but June it is.
Okay, cool. What am I going to go for next? I think I am going to go Shenmue 3, which is like, I can't believe Shenmue 3 has the firmest date of any of these, and it's quite far in the future. So it's the 27th of August is Shenmue 3. So, 20 years after the release of the original Shenmue, which, you know, gave us the open world sandbox game play that we all know and love and sometimes hate today. So, Shenmue's a game that kickstarted a massive thing in games, and it's going to be really interesting to see how it's updated that but stayed true to the original. It's going to be really interesting. I'm kind of nervous about it because it's been so long coming, and although Shenmue the original, the very first one, wasn't particularly playable, we all knew at the time that it had done something, that something had changed. There was a shift, and then GTA 3 came out, and we all know what happened then. But Shenmue 2 was really enjoyable, and the story was really great, and the world building was fantastic. That sense of being in Hong Kong, and the rain, the sort of weather patterns coming in, and the plane flying over, and it was a very cool game, and it is much loved and adored, and so there are many happy sort of die-hard fans who've been campaigning for this for like years and years and years, who are going to be very happy, and I just hope that the game makes us all happy. I just really want it to succeed, basically. Shenmue 3.
Yeah, Shenmue, unfortunately, is one of those series that has passed me by completely. I remember like when it came out and people were going nuts for it, because like you say, it is one of the like first open world games, and people were like, I remember magazines kind of like wildly speculating about where things went from there. Oh, we're going to have games where the world is as big as the world. And yeah, I mean, maybe it didn't actually go down that route, but yeah, it was just really interesting.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, look where we are firmly still, you know, 20 years later, we're still like open worlding. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. So what's up next?
Up next, I have... Okay, there's no firm release date for this one, but I'm... Yeah, there's not a firm release date for a lot of these.
Right.
But I'm predicting, like, in the next 3 months or so, In the Valley of Gods is from Campo Santo. The first episode we did on this show, or the first episode I did, was Firewatch, and I recall that I was particularly effusive about it because I really loved it and still do. It's still one of my like favorite game experiences and my favorite stories, and I loved the ending even though a lot of people don't, and a lot of people were disappointed by it, and I never understood that because it is a really perfect ending. But Campo Santo, who made Firewatch, have put together and are putting together another game, and all we really know about it, I think, is what's in the trailer, which is that it's, you know, two characters. Your character is named Zora, and there is a partner character whose name I don't quite remember. It might be that the partner character is named Zora. Anyway, I don't remember. So good research by me. But yeah, essentially the trailer shows these two characters. One of your characters in first person in very similar sort of ways to Firewatch, in that you've kind of got you feel very like real and present and part of the world, and you're climbing through like Egyptian ruins in the Valley of the Gods, and you also have a camera which uses like I think it's 35mm film or something like that, and you set it up on, like at the end of the trailer, you set it up on the tripod and get this really amazing view of the sun lining up in a specific way through, you know, ancient Egyptian architecture. And I don't know any more about it than that. You should go and watch the trailer because it just looks incredible. And yeah,
it does.
It's got the perfect like music as well. It's just a really well done thing. And yeah, I can't wait to see what that game actually is, because I'm just a big fan of the developers.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that we've got two games with black and brown lead female characters and archaeology as the sort of, as the setting. So yeah, I think one of the really significant things with the Valley of the Gods is that there's a black female lead character, and they've done a lot of stuff on the hair texture as well, having a natural hair texture, which is really important, believe it or not, because games don't do that. They give black people straight hair because it's easier and they don't want to deal with it. So yeah, it's made, you know, a huge leap forward in terms of art. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. It just looks beautiful and atmospheric, and it'll have, you know, the great storytelling that Campo Santo displayed in Firewatch.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, it really is.
I think it is. It's nice when you've got like those studios like Inkle and Campo Santo and, you know, like Giant Sparrow, where you can feel, you just have this confidence in what they're going to produce, that like they may take risks or whatever, but you think ultimately they're probably just going to make something that you're going to love in some way or other. That's always nice.
I don't need to read reviews for Valley of the Gods. I don't need to know anyone else's opinion on it. Right. I know that that's going to be like 5 hours of something that I just super enjoy, and that's kind of the end of it.
And speaking of, I'll probably go to the next one, which is another one of those. So After Party, which is by Night School Studio, which is the Oxenfree team. So that's another one of those comfy games that you think, yeah, I'm probably just going to enjoy this because Oxenfree was so good. There is no fixed date for this other than 2019, sadly. But there is a really nice trailer out there if you want to give it a quick Google or whatever. So basically, you are two friends, Milo and Lola. God, that's a bit of a tongue twister. So Milo and Lola, they're friends and unfortunately are dead. But they haven't gone straight to hell or the afterlife or whatever. They're currently in a bar, and their challenge is to outdrink Satan. And if they win, they can go back to the land of the living on Earth. Which is excellent. A strange premise, because you just think, what's the gameplay on that?
Yeah.
And then when you look at the trailer, it does have the same dialogue system as Oxenfree, so it has the little boxes, and the dialogue was lovely, which you know, was one of the great things with Oxenfree as well. And I'm sure they're going to have some like cute mechanics in there. So there's things like you get to like chug a lug in a bar with Satan.
Yeah.
With people going chug. It looks like there's some dancing, so I think there's like lots of sort of weird games and puzzles and things. Apparently there's like karaoke in it or something.
Okay.
So it just looks like much more lighthearted, but still has the potential for some of that darkness that Oxenfree had.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because obviously Satan and that.
Yeah. I am interested, just like, even having watched the trailer and played Oxenfree, this is different from like going from Firewatch to In the Valley of the Gods, where I have a sense of that developer that I can kind of imagine what this next game is going to be about. With Oxenfree, it was strange enough and interesting enough that even though this is on the same engine, I kind of have no idea where they're going with this, and I'm interested to find out.
Yeah. But the same as, you know, Inkle and Camusanto, in the fact that there's some confidence there with their ability to do something interesting in such a wacky world.
Yeah.
Because games don't do wacky that well quite often.
No.
Often it kind of misses the mark a little bit. But yeah, and it looks gorgeous in, you know, it's a similar art style, but a very different kind of tone. There's lots of like reds and blacks, and they're in a nightclub and there are demons whose heads burst into flames and stuff. It looks really good fun.
Yeah. There's a really nice sort of shot in the trailer where you're focusing on the characters and then someone runs past in the foreground, like out of focus, but with their head on fire.
Yeah.
So it just seems like a very cool, funny sort of interpretation of a busy bar sort of environment. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like The Good Place.
Yeah, oh yeah, yes, very much so, yeah.
The Good Place was a game.
Yeah. There we are. So, The Good Place, the game, coming out this year.
From Night School Studio. What's up next on your list?
This is another one which is just kind of personal to me. I know this isn't like a super hyped game, but there is a new Team Sonic Racing coming out in May. You don't have to laugh at it. Right. No, it's fine.
I'm sure there's loads of people like punching the air right now going, yes, Drew is on it.
Yeah, perhaps.
Always.
Yeah, so like, if anyone has played Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing Transformed, which is like the worst title ever, this is the sequel to that. And Transformed was like a really kind of underappreciated gem. It came out, I think, kind of the same time as Mario Kart 8, and like, Mario Kart is it's so polished and it's so good, and it's a really incredible game that Transformed kind of got overshadowed a bit, I think. I may be wrong about the dates on that, but that's what I recall it, the situation being. But Transformed did a really incredible kart racing game from a studio that, well, from a developer that's not really made great kart racing games in the past. But Transformed was huge, it was expansive, it had lots of characters. The tracks that it had are huge and interesting and just very detailed and animated. There's a really cool one later in the game, for example, where I don't know what game it's taken from. I think it's from like an arcade game, which not a Sega arcade game, which not many people have heard of. But the gimmick of the track is that each lap you go around, more of it falls apart and more water starts rushing in. So it kind of raises the level of the track and gives you more boat sections and stuff like that. And it's just completely dynamic and continuous and really fun in a way that Mario Kart doesn't really do, because it has such a... All of the tracks in that, they are really well designed and really gorgeous, but they are kind of static, and all of the decorations and stuff are, like, they're gorgeous, but they don't change or move or between from lap to lap. And this just goes a lot further with that stuff and has much more alterable and dynamic gameplay. And it also has a really great online system, so it's very easy to... The reason I enjoyed playing it so much is that like all of my friends were just able to jump on, get into a game, fill the rest of the game with random other internet people, or just not, and just get playing. And we had some great times with that game, so I'm really looking forward to just hopefully being able to do that again.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. What am I going for next? I think I've only got two left.
I only have one left.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go for... This is like a little one that I've only just found out about, but it like ticks so many of my boxes that it's untrue. And it's called Draugen. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm not sure. And it is described as a single-player, first-person, fjord noir mystery set in 1920s Norway. Boom. Mic drop.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, I hadn't really heard anything about this until you described it to me that way, and yeah, sold.
I mean, I think I'm done.
Yeah,
on that game.
All other games are done, finished. No other games are needed.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Draugen, which is about what we just said. That's it. Now that's what video games is.
Yeah. So the developer is Red Thread Games. Who I'm not familiar with. Like I said, I just found out about it last week, just before I went to Res, and I was like, that sounds amazing, and immediately wishlisted it on Steam, which you can do now. So yeah, any of these games aren't firmly dated, but if they've got Steam pages, please wishlist them if you're interested, because it actually really helps developers if you do that. So apparently you explore a coastal community in search for your missing sister. And it looks really beautiful and cool, and yeah, what more do you need to know? I think I'm done with that. Draugen.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
And apparently it's May, coming out in May, so it's not that far away either.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna look out for that one if I'm done with all the other stuff that I've got to play. I was actually wrong. I have two left rather than one. So my next one is Psychonauts 2, which is apparently coming out this year tentatively. Like, they've announced 2019, but there hasn't been much of an advance since then. I really love Psychonauts 1. It was one of those games that like kind of didn't sell very well and then developed a real cult following, because it's very funnily written. It's from Tim Schafer and Double Fine, so it's got this really great comedy pedigree. And yeah, for years people were struggling to get a new one made, and then they kind of finally announced it along with an Indiegogo campaign, so a lot of people contributed to that. And yeah, like, if you haven't played Psychonauts, it's available on everything. It's been updated for Steam and PS4, and it's just a really clever, funny platformer about psychology and literally kind of getting into people's minds and finding out why they are the way they are and kind of fixing their problems. And yeah, it's super good. I can't wait for the new one.
Cool. Nice. Okay, so my last one, which kind of leads into, or is the antithesis to your last one, I believe, and that is NeoCab, which I've mentioned before, which is a indie game by Chance Agency, and it's a gorgeous looking cyberpunk about the sort of kind of the gig economy and maintaining your humanity in a world that's, you know, increasingly isolating us through technology. And you play as a cab driver, so one of the few real person cab drivers left. You know, people get in your car and go, oh, I didn't realize people still did this, because everything is kind of run by AI and things like that. And you interact with, you're looking for your missing friend, and you interact with people who get into your car and to sort of uncover the mystery. Well, it looks really beautiful. Everything's kind of bathed in pinks and purples and blues, like, you know, cyberpunk should be. It's also very inclusive in terms of gender and sexuality, which also cyberpunk should be, because we're looking at a future that's, you know, probably more progressive than our own would be, because that's how that's how culture works. It gets more progressive as it moves forward, but most cyberpunk doesn't seem to recognize that. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It looks cool. It's got some really cool writers behind it as well. So yeah, excited for that one.
Absolutely, it looks really gorgeous. I love the sort of premise of it. I'm definitely gonna buy and play that, because, you know, I just have, so there's a big portion of my brain which is just dedicated to cyberpunk.
I like cyberpunk, even though it lets me down a lot, but but I do, yeah. I have a hankering for some good cyberpunk, and this looks like it's going to hit that spot.
Yeah. And speaking of which, my last one, as people have probably sort of figured out by now, is Cyberpunk 2077, I don't have a lot to say about this, which might be coming out in 2019 and might not, because it's from CD Projekt Red, who, like, don't give specific dates because they spend a lot of time kind of perfecting their games. And yeah, so, like, we've talked about this before, there are some, the developer has, well, The Witcher 3 certainly has some issues, I think, is a good way to say it, around women specifically, and hopefully some of that not all of that stuff will make it into Cyberpunk 2077, but it seems like it might.
Yeah, the trailer wasn't great, was it?
No,
I mean, it looked good, but yeah, in terms of representation of women, it wasn't.
No,
good.
And no, and, you know, kind of, I'm just hoping that was just trailer stuff and it's not going to be a huge deal in the main game, and that it's going to be more progressive. But I'm aware that I'm just kind of convincing myself that there's no evidence that that's going to be the case. But it's a cyberpunk RPG based on the tabletop cyberpunk RPG by the people who made The Witcher 3, which, excepting for that one glaring, like, flaw, is a really amazing and incredible RPG, and, like, one of the it's such a huge technical achievement, a world-building achievement. It's amazing to play. It's deep and fun and great, and I can't not play a cyberpunk game made by that same team.
Yeah, I mean, I was excited until I heard it was CD Projekt Red doing it, because Cyberpunk, the tabletop game, is freaking awesome, and I think it's one of my favorite tabletop role-playing games. It's just the best cyberpunk setting. It's just like, it's just a brilliant game, and some of my favorite adventures have been in that world. So I probably will pick it up, I think, just to have a look. I don't know. I'm going to see how it goes, see how it progresses. But, I wish it wasn't them.
I can't say that, like, because I'm glad. It's the Witcher team are the team that I want to make this game. It's just, I want somebody else to write it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. There we'll we are. See. Can't have everything.
No. And frequently we don't get no. everything. Just once. Can we just have everything?
Yeah. Like, it's not. Is everything so much to ask?
I know, right. It's so hard to give us everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, less dead naked women really isn't everything, though.
No, that seems like a small step.
Yeah, it is.
And on that note, look out for our next episode, which I have a feeling is going to be about love, death, and robots.
Oh, right. You've watched it and I haven't yet.
I have, but like, yeah. I think we could definitely talk about that.
Yeah, okay then.
Yeah.
Cool, so that's a preview to our probable next episode.
Like, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so let us know what your anticipated are, and yeah, we'd be like truly interested, and you can do that on Twitter. Twitter's probably a really good place to do that, the best place to do that, at ArgueTheCast. There's a comment section on GameIndustry.com and in the podcast places, so you can leave comments and likes and things like that. So come and chat to us. We like it.
Yeah.
And that's Are You the Toss for this week. Until next time, Drew.
Cheerio.